And the word from the Lord today comes from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Acts 1, 6 through 11. And if you have your Bibles, will you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? And it reads, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven." Amen to the reading and hearing of God's holy word. You may be seated. My theme for today is, are you looking for Jesus? My brothers and sisters, as we study our Bibles, we learn from Scripture that God's people are often referred to as his sheep, because like the sheep, we have a tendency to go astray. And without the shepherd, without our Lord and Savior, we would be lost and without hope. For Jesus is not only our Savior and Redeemer, but he's also our protector and our keeper. And he came as an unwelcome visitor, as a little baby boy, born in a manger to an unwed mother. He came to a poor and oppressed people who rejected and persecuted him, not realizing that they were persecuting the very one who came to seek and to set them free. But in spite of the persecution, Jesus just went on about his Father's business, always doing good in perfect obedience to the will of his Father in heaven. And even though the presence and power of Jesus is pictured and prophesied throughout Old Testament Scripture, we don't get a full revelation of Jesus until we get to the New Testament. And that is why it is important that we study both the Old and the New Covenants. Because from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is just one big story that tells of God's plan to restore and redeem his people through the sacrificial work of his Son Jesus, who came down from heaven because only a perfect sacrifice, and somebody say a perfect sacrifice, only a perfect sacrifice could redeem us from the guilt and penalty of sin. And the first glimpse of God's plan of redemption through his Son Jesus is found at Genesis 3 and 15, where God foretold that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And Jesus came as a humble servant, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the hope of eternity in the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know of anyone in their right mind who doesn't like to hear good news. And the good news began with John the Baptist crying in the wilderness, "Repent and be baptized, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And before Jesus was tempted by Satan, he spent 40 days in the wilderness fasting and praying. And we know that the wilderness is a place of danger, darkness, and distress. And for the children of Israel, God's chosen people, it was a place of hopeless wandering around in circles for 40 long years. And for the people of God today, we are not that far removed from this story, because we know a great deal about danger and distress as pilgrims in the wilderness of this violent and corrupted world, where in cities and towns throughout the land, parents, mothers, and fathers are weeping and moaning because so many of our young people are being buried at an early age. And more people are crying in the wilderness of gun violence, fear, and frustration. But even in the midst of our trials and tragedies, we have the good news of the gospel of Jesus and the hope of future glory. In other words, the good news comes to us as a word of hope that the day is coming. And somebody said, the day is coming. The day is coming when the kingdom of darkness and the destruction of the devil will come to an end. And the Bible said that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and no more pain and suffering, but everlasting joy in the Lord. But as we continue in this earthly journey, God is calling us out of the darkness of this lost and dying world into the marvelous light of his son, Jesus. And if you ask the man who recovered his sight, or the woman who had the issue of blood and was healed when she touched the hem of his garment, if you ask them, they would tell you that there's something special and unique about Jesus, because he's the only one who could have healed their broken bodies. And he's the only one who could clean up the mess that Adam and Eve made in the Garden of Eden. For because of their disobedience, all of creation was separated from God and blinded by the deception of Satan. And the Bible says that Satan is the ruler of the darkness of this world. And there are many in the world, and even in the church, who have become so confused and so caught up in the affairs of the world that they have lost touch with the things of God. And in their confusion, prayer has been taken out of our schools, and same-sex marriage has become the law of the land. And there are more couples choosing to shag up than those taking the vows of marriage. And what a sad state of affair when we have so many young black men who have become completely insensitive to violence and have no respect for their parents, because evil spirits have taken control of their hearts and minds. And so what we have is a spiritual problem, a spiritual warfare. And the only solution to the problems of this world is to start looking for Jesus. The politicians can't fix it. The policeman can't fix it. Mama and daddy can't fix it, but only Jesus. And somebody say, only Jesus. Only Jesus, the great shepherd who came the first time to seek and to save. But when he comes back the second time, he's coming to judge and condemn all who have not come to faith in him. And I do believe, my brothers and sisters, that we are living in the last days. And although we may not know the time or the season, the Bible said that there will be signs, and that in the last days there will be wars and rumors of wars, and that children will be disobedient to their parents, and that men will be lovers of men, and women lovers of women. And all these signs that are prophesied in Scripture are being fulfilled in the world today. But Jesus made it perfectly clear that only the Father in heaven knows the time or the season when the final judgment will come. But in spite of all the evil signs we see in the world today, we know that the world is operating on a divine time schedule. And somebody said divine time schedule. A divine time schedule where God is guiding and directing the affairs of the world according to his plan and purpose, that all things will one day be restored and reconciled, and that there will be a new heaven and a new earth where Jesus will rule forever. And so we can take confidence in knowing that the great shepherd, the Prince of Peace, is coming again and will establish his eternal kingdom. And we see in our text today that while the disciples were watching, when Jesus was being taken up to glory, that two angels appeared unto them and assured them that that same Jesus, and somebody said that same Jesus, that same Jesus who had been taken up to heaven would come back again. And the Bible says that in the final judgment, that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But in that moment of grief and sorrow, the disciples felt helpless and hopeless as they watched their spiritual leader ascend into the clouds. But what they failed to realize was that even though Jesus would no longer be with them in his earthly body, he would always be with them in the spirit. For he promised to never leave nor forsake them. And we have that same promise that Jesus will always be with us. Even when we are struggling, trying to make it through the trials and difficult situations that sometimes come our way. But just as God heard the cries of the children of Israel and delivered them out of their bondage of suffering and afflictions, he will do the same for his people today if we learn to put our faith and trust in Jesus and the power of his word. Because he is the great shepherd who never lost a sheep. And we are called his sheep because he laid down his life for us and delivered us out of the bondage of our sins and transgression. And we now belong to Jesus, purchased by the blood of his cross. And just like Jesus prayed in everything he did, we too must learn to maintain steadfast in prayer, because it is the power of prayer. And somebody said the power of prayer. It is the power of prayer that blessings and healing come into our lives. And even right now, Jesus is interceding on our behalf before the throne, pleading our case before the Father. For the Bible said that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. And he's the only one who can restore peace and joy to broken relationships, put the marriages back together, bring that wayward child back into obedience of the parents. And if we are honest with ourselves today, though, we will all admit that we are all broken. in one way or another. And just as Jesus prayed daily for his disciples, we also must learn to pray for one another. And when we get into the habit of praying for other folk in their struggles, it will help take our minds off our own personal problems. And it does not matter what you may be going through. It does not matter what your situation may be. God knows exactly where you are. And he knows what you stand in need of. And he will answer our prayers according to his good plan and purpose for our lives. And when we pray, we must be like David and ask for forgiveness of our sin. And then we can pray for wisdom like Solomon. We can pray for healing like Hezekiah. We can pray for deliverance like Daniel. We can pray for courage like the three Hebrew boys. And then we can pray for mercy like David. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Have mercy on me. But whatever it is that you're praying for, don't give up on the Lord. Because he won't give up on you. But keep on praying until you get an answer. And although he may not answer when you think he should, he's still an on-time God. I wish I had a witness here. And he has promised to supply our every need according to his riches in glory. But the problem is there are far too many people in the church who have allowed the things of the world to become more important than their love for the things of God and the truth of his word. And just as there were false teachers during the time of Jesus, there are false teachers in the church today who have perverted and distorted the gospel truth to the point where there are many in the church who call themselves Christians but see no problem in living a lifestyle that conforms to the ideas and pleasures of the world. And God is not happy when he see Christians shacking up, Christians smoking weed, Christians cussing people out, deacons fighting with the pastor, Christians spending Friday nights and Saturday nights in the nightclubs or on the gambling boats. And Christians who spend more money on lottery tickets, chasing the little lotto or the Powerball, than they do in support of the church, because they have made the mistake of putting their hopes in the things of the world. But the Bible said that the world will pass away because God has fixed a day on which the world will be judged by a man whom he has raised from the dead and is now seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father with all power and authority, both in heaven and on earth. But before Jesus departed to heaven, he commanded his disciples to go back to Jerusalem and tarry there until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And while they were standing there gazing, they finally realized that Jesus was really going away, and they would no longer be able to walk side by side with him as they had done for 3.5 years. And during his time with him, Jesus had tried to prepare them for his departure, but they ignored all the warning signs because a suffering servant did not fit the picture of what they wanted in their Messiah. They were looking for a conquering king who would restore the nation of Israel. But Jesus came to save them from their sin. And now that he had departed, they could do nothing but watch him disappear from their sight. But in their hearts, somebody say in their hearts, in their hearts, they knew that he would return again. But throughout the gospel story, we see that the disciples were often confused about his identity and misunderstood the purpose of his mission. And it was not until they had seen his resurrected body with the holes in his side that they clearly understood what Jesus had been saying about himself, that he and the Father are one, and that he had come to suffer and die as a sacrifice for our sin, and then to rise again on the third day. And Jesus had chosen Peter and the other disciples to be the primary witnesses to his resurrection. But it was Mary and the other women who were the first to witness the empty tomb, because the testimony of women was not seen as trustworthy during the time of Jesus. And so the angel at the tomb told the women to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. And when Jesus appeared unto his disciples in the upper room, they knew for a fact that the Lord had risen, and they were commissioned to bear witness to that fact. And we have also been called to bear witness in telling others about the hope of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And the disciples had come a long way since the day that Jesus promised to make them fishermen of men. And now the time had come for Jesus to return to heaven, and he would give them final instructions for the work that they had been called to do. Go to Jerusalem and wait on the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name. And following his command, the disciples returned to Jerusalem and were gathered once again in the upper room. And the Bible says that they were, while they were yet praying, that suddenly there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible said that they were all with one accord in one place and were continually in the temple praising and blessing the Lord. Yeah. And that same Holy Ghost Spirit, yeah, that indwelled and empowered the disciples some 2,000 years ago is still at work in the church today, empowering and preparing God's people to be a blessing and a witness to others who have not yet come to faith in Christ Jesus. And because we have the Spirit of Christ in our hearts, we know that when we stumble and fall, that we can get back up again. And when we make mistakes along the way, we know that we can confess our faults and that God will give us another chance. And as Reverend Curtis would say, another chance and another chance. We fall down, but we get up. Because all of our sins and transgressions have been covered by the blood of Jesus. But we have an adversary. And somebody said we have an adversary. We have an adversary, and his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will do anything within his power to destroy our faith in the Lord and to turn our minds and hearts against the things of God. Because the devil knows. The devil knows that we are an imperfect people living in an imperfect world. And so don't fool yourself. Don't go around boasting about how good you are with your halo over your head, looking down on other people and tooting your own horn. Because if the truth be told, all of us got some thoughts and some feelings that we need to work on. Struggling with pride, jealousy, anger, bitterness, selfishness, unforgiveness, lust, and all the other sinful thoughts and feelings that dwell within us. But the good news is that the devil has been defeated by the blood of the cross. And for those of us who have been brought into the family of God through faith in Christ Jesus, we have no reason. And somebody said we have no reason. We have no reason to fear death or the devil and his demons. And there are some of us here today who are old enough to remember the Flip Wilson show that used to come on TV back in the 70s and the 80s. And as you recall, every time that Flip did something wrong, he would say, The devil made me do it. But the truth of the matter is that the devil can't make you do anything that you don't want to do. Because every sin, every transgression begins with a thought in the mind. And the Bible said that we are to bring all thoughts into obedience of Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are made holy and sanctified by the renewing of our minds, so that day by day we may become more and more like Christ Jesus in our thoughts and outward conduct. Yeah. And I know that I'm not all that God would have me to be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. For the Bible said that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. In other words, you cannot be a true baptized believer and a member of God's church and just keep on living that same old sinful lifestyle, hanging out with the same old crowd and going to the same old places, and then have the nerve to get angry with God when your prayers seem to go unanswered. But the Bible said that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And God would remind the children of Israel that he didn't want their sacrifices. He didn't want their burnt offerings, because they were following after the false gods and living in disobedience to his word. And the devil is always in the background. And so unless we are faithful and led by the Spirit of God, we will find ourselves caught up in the things of the world, because it is by the power of the Holy Spirit who gives us the strength to say yes to the will and the word of God and no to the temptations of Satan. Yes, sir. And that is why Jesus instructed his disciples to wait at Jerusalem until they were endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then they would be enabled to proclaim and spread the gospel message to the end of the earth. And every child of God, somebody say every child of God, every child of God, every new creature in Christ Jesus can continue this earthly journey with the confidence of knowing that the Word of God will give us the courage and the strength to deal with any problem or difficult situation that may come our way. And every crisis, every trial or tragedy is an opportunity to look to Jesus to see us through. Because he is the living Word. And everything in this world is under his command. For the Bible says that even the wind and the waters of the sea obey his command. And by his stripes, we have already been healed. In other words, Jesus is the answer and the solution to all of our problems. And so stop praying for a winning number. Stop praying for the little lotto, the Powerball, and the Fireball. Looking for hope in the lottery. Because money cannot solve our problems. But only Jesus. And if you learn to look to Jesus and keep your mind stayed on him, then no weapon of the devil and his demons shall prevail against us, because our strength and our hope is in the Lord and the promises of his word. But we live in a time where many have turned away from the things of God and have rejected the instructions of Jesus. And as a result, the gospel truth has been distorted. And there are some things that used to be called sin that are no longer sin in the minds of many people, because their minds have been deceived by the false teachers who have reinterpreted the meaning of Scripture and misled a lot of people into thinking that it is perfectly okay for them to determine for themselves what's morally right or wrong based on their spiritual understanding and not according to the teachings of the church. And there are many societies in the world today where people are not as religious as they used to be and have made the mistake of looking for hope in all the wrong places. But we know that our hope is not in the world and not in the material things of the world, but in the eternal blessings that await us in the kingdom of heaven. And the only way to heaven, the only road to heaven, is through faith in Christ Jesus, the precious Lamb of God, who promised to give rest to all who will follow after him. But whenever we're trying to do good and following in the steps of Jesus, it makes the devil mad. And he will throw all kinds of stumbling blocks into our path. And if we make the mistake of listening to his lies, he will bring all kinds of problems into our lives and will create conflict and division in our homes and family and even in the church. And if you're not careful, he will plant seeds of doubts in your mind about the truthfulness of God's word and the eternal hope we have in Jesus. And then you would have no choice but to look to Jesus for the peace and hope that only he can give. And the more we learn to look to Jesus and the truth of his word, the more we will grow in fellowship and relationship with God. And scripture says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh to the Father but by him. And it also said that if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. And so the question here today, my brothers and sisters, is have you learned to look to Jesus and the power of his word and not put hope in the things of the world? For if you learn to look to Jesus, then the trials and troubles that used to keep you up at night won't bother you that much anymore. Because with Jesus as your shepherd and the Holy Spirit as your guide, the world and the devil can do you no harm. And all you got to do is keep on trusting in the Lord. And he will make a way. And he may not come when you think he should. But he's always, always on time. And do I have a witness here? And I don't know about you, but I'm going to say yes to his will, yes to his way, and yes to his word. For I heard the songwriter say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, anybody know about joy? Joy will come in the morning. And do I have a witness here? Hand clapping joy, foot stomping joy, heart warming joy, true and lasting joy. And my joy is in the strength of the Lord. And do I have a witness here? And if you know my Lord Jesus and have been washed in his blood, can you lift holy hands? Can you shout hallelujah? And can you tell him thank you for washing away my sin? And thank you for saving my soul. And do I have a witness here? And aren't you glad that you got a Savior in Jesus? And he promised to give you perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. 'Cause can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. Nobody, nobody but Jesus. And if you learn to look to Jesus, he will give you strength in the midst of your storm and give you rest in a weary land. Won't he do it? Won't he do it?